Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hackenberg takes the snap. Back. Christian waits. Fires in the end zone. Got him. Touchdown. Penn State. Chris Godwin. And the Nittany Lions cap an 80-yard drive. Hackenberg, 6-for-6 so far. They show blitz. Takes the snap. Back. Fade near corner. Lewis. Up in the air. Got it. Touchdown. Penn State. End over end. Farmer backpedals. He's coming out 5 yards deep. 5, 10, 15, 20. Far side, 30. 35. Zaleski grabs him. Farmer breaks the tackle. 50. Hit at the 45. And Koa Farmer inside the Illinois 45 at the 43-yard line. Wing right. A pitch it to Scott. Rolls right. Looks back for Hackenberg. Wide open at the 10. Makes the catch. Hackenberg near corner. Touchdown. Penn State. Barkley takes it. Fakes it to Polk. Up the middle. To his right. Bounces near side to the 5. Hurdles in the air to the touchdown. Nittany Lions. Saquon Barkley hurdles into the end zone. Game set. Nittany Lions. Fourth and one, they're in the gun. Takes it, and down he goes. Torrance Brown off the edge for a loss at the 42-yard line. The Nittany Lions take over on downs, and Torrance Brown with an outstanding defensive series off the edge. Pitch it to Allen, right side. Allen through the hole, cuts back to the 20, 15. Mark to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Penn State. Mark Allen knocks it in from 21 yards out, and the Nittany Lions expand their lead to 38-0.
All right, welcome. Great to have you with us. Joe Susan's going to join us at 3:35. Pete Jensen, NHL.com today as well. The Kevin Hurd topics of the day. How dirty are the Bengals?
That is not on the list. That story, and I don't agree with it.
You always refer to them as the Bungles.
I do.
The wrong team. Guess what? Your team were the Bungles yesterday.
No argument.
You bungled the game.
Yep.
Your quarterback bungled the game.
Yep.
And
terrible time management.
And time management, but also two bad interceptions. I mean, bad.
Yeah. That was right. To even have a chance in the game. By the way, there was one thing I didn't have on the list, so I'll add that now. And that's, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Miami-Duke finale. I watched it live, and I had my input on that.
Well, it's poorly officiated, and they got a two-week suspension. He's down. At one point, they're down.
That's what I wanted to know. It's right about the 30-yard line or so. It
he's
looked
down.
Close.
Not close. He's down.
But why, if they review that, isn't it found on the review? That's what I don't get.
Well, why do you think they're suspended for 2 weeks, including the reviewer?
I mean, yeah. And you know what? Here's the thing.
They're suspended as a crew for 2 weeks. I will give the ACC credit for this. The Big Ten won't do this, but the ACC does. Okay? They suspended them, and they told you.
The crew itself, though, I mean, you got to give them a little bit of credit here. That is a horrible situation to be in, because your vision, your spots that you have to look at change every time they lateral the ball. Your assignment as an official changes.
Kevin, there are 8 people out there.
Agreed.
Okay, they've added an official this year.
Yes.
Okay, there's 8 people out there. They're all capable of making a call. It's not as if you're asking one person to follow 8 laterals. No, you've got 8 people.
But here's the thing I don't hear anybody talking about. If you look after lateral number, I think it's 7, they come to the middle of the field about the 30-yard line. There is a blatant block in the back, and I believe the guy that gets blocked is number 31. Right. It is between the 3 and the 1, and no one's talked about that.
Well, no, but that has been talked about because they said, look, they missed it. That's one of the reasons they're suspended. They totally missed it. But the replay official cannot do anything about that.
No, that's exactly right. They were now, here's the thing that I didn't understand, Steve, and this is where I need your expertise. They're reviewing a block in the back call well downfield at about the Duke 35-yard line or so. I didn't think you could review that. They kept saying that they were reviewing a flag.
Yeah, they can't. They're not allowed to. Who said that? The announcers or the referee?
I'm pretty sure the official said that they're looking at the flag.
That's another reason. Another reason they got suspended. You're not allowed to do that. Okay. There. Let me tell you. Here are the penalties you can review. You can review whether or not a quarterback is over the line of scrimmage when he throws. So you actually can. That actually is a penalty that can be reviewed. And obviously targeting. After that, you can't review a block in the back. You can't review pass interference. You're not allowed.
Yeah, the first thing that they were looking at supposedly was to make sure everything was a lateral and that he wasn't down. And then I'm pretty sure the official said something about reviewing the flag.
No,
and I'm like,
can't.
How can you do that?
You can't.
That's now, it wasn't a block in the back there. It was a block in the back way back there.
They got suspended. They got suspended for 2 weeks because they botched the whole thing. All right? It's the eight people plus the replay guy all got suspended for 2 weeks.
The replay guy really needed to be suspended.
Yeah, but they all did because they botched it. Simple as that. And not only that, okay, this is where, okay, you're talking about, oh, it happened so fast, but oh, blah, blah, my foot. Guess what? hear me out. Remember I had Bill Carollo on the show last year?
Yes.
After the Ohio State game?
Yes, I do.
And I brought up to him about the onside kick play where they called James offsides. And it turned out the James helmet was in the neutral zone. That's why it's considered the neutral zone. That's why it's a penalty. He admitted that, look, it's awfully close. It depends on angles. He's not so sure he would have made that call, but he's explaining why they made the call they did. He also said that because they know it's going to be an onside kick, common sense tells them in that situation it's going to be an onside kick, that they're looking for it compared to a regular kickoff.
That's a good point.
All right. Now, let's go to the Miami situation. Unless they're completely in outer space, all eight officials know there's going to be the potential for a lateral play like that, so they're going to have to be on their toes.
That's a very good point. That's one I hadn't thought of. I mean, I was giving the referees the benefit of the doubt because you're never quite sure where the lateral is going to go. But, yeah, you're right. Everybody that was watching it, everybody in the stadium knew what the play was going to be next. So that's a good point.
Well, I mean, I'm saying the potential is there, a strong feeling that they're going to do that. It doesn't mean a guy can't pick it up and just go himself. But now we're at the point of 8 times out of 10, we're seeing lateral plays at the end of games. So it's not as if they're not aware of it, because they are. Common sense tells them they are. They have to be.
But what's a shame in this whole thing is,
Duke lost.
Well,
that's the shame of
no,
it.
That's not where I was going, but yeah, okay, I'll give
no,
you that.
No, but I mean, but look, Duke won the game.
Yes, yes.
And they don't win.
And they don't get the win. You're right. And it cost them, are they still ranked top 25? I think it might have cost them a top 25 ranking, too. Not that that's a big deal, but I mean, still, for Duke, it's a big deal.
I don't even look at that stuff.
But, you know, I couldn't tell if his knee was down because they really weren't focused on that. They were focused, when they did the replay, they were focused on the laterals. So I couldn't really see a good angle whether he was down or not, and I wasn't really looking at that. What I thought was interesting was that Miami did all this. Every one of those was a lateral. And really the only thing, besides possibly being down, was one block in the back. Every other block was clean. That's what really impressed me, is they did 9 laterals legally and all but one block was clean. I thought there would be 800 flags all over that field.
Yeah. There weren't any flags in the field. That's and they're also out for 2 weeks. What does that tell you?
Usually when you're reversing field like that, you're almost guaranteed a block in the back or a hold or something. But yeah,
well,
there was a bad one. There was a really bad one. But other than that, I didn't see any more. That was a really bad one, though. That was a forearm. That was two hands on the 3-and-1 square between the shoulder blades.
Yeah. Why keep Harvey in the game after the walk in the ninth inning? I would have kept him in. I have no issue with what Terry Collins did last night at all. Zero. I've got to look out there, and you have to make a decision. What's my best option to win this game? I felt in watching the game, that was their best option to win.
I mean, I can understand him going out there and letting him go out. That makes sense. But after the walk, yeah. I might have thought about it.
No, I would have kept going. This guy's controlled their lineup all night. He was my best option of winning the game. Terry Collins can take blame all he wants. Hey, I'd have sent him out. I'd have had him face the first two batters. And if they both got on, then I would have brought the bullpen in. All right? Look, they get the double play at the plate if Duda makes a good throw of the plate. He's out. Okay? He's out. He's not going to make it. If he throws the ball to the plate on that dash from third after Wright throws him out at first, he's out. And they're playing tonight. They're traveling tonight, playing tomorrow. But Hosmer made a great play. Where I'm taking off and I'm going to force the other guy to make a play. Well, he forced him to make a play and he didn't make it. And Hosmer did. Okay. The Mets bullpen did not cover itself in glory in this series. And Matt Harvey was pitching a great game. All right. I felt that if I'm running the Mets, that's my best option to win. Nobody else has proven to me in this series that they're a good option to win the game. Hey, nobody. Nobody in my bullpen has proven to me they're my best option. This guy's pitching great. It's his night. I'd have given him the first two batters of the night. He did nothing wrong. I wouldn't have changed up. Not at all. Let's see. How much different are the Steelers without Bell this year compared to last year? You're a 500 team, probably below. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. You got issues. You just lost one of your second best receiver.
Let me know when you want me to debate that with you. I'm not arguing with you one bit.
And your best running back. Right? Well, the quarterback who can't move.
I totally agree. Here we come,
and
wild
an
card.
And an offensive wild card what? You might not even make that.
Nah, that's all you got to root for right now is a wild card.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of other teams right now that you got to clear hurdles of. Lucky for you, one division's under 500 with the leader. All right, we will come back with, you know what? They're probably in good shape for the wild card. The Jets? Dolphins are a threat.
Raiders?
Who else? Oh, the Raiders are a definite threat. In fact, that's a big game coming up this week. I think the Raiders got to be I think the Raiders will win the game. We'll come back with, and Carr is playing terrific. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855, check us out online at purdyinsurance.com, or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Joe Susan, come from behind win over Lafayette on Saturday. That'd be a fun one to watch. I know Lafayette, I mean, that was kind of like a line in the sand game for them. And
absolutely.
Good win.
Yeah, that's one that makes it. And then with Fordham's loss... to Colgate, those are two teams on Bucknell's schedule yet to come. Fordham next week. That made the Lafayette win even more important because the last thing you wanted to do was go into Fordham on a four-game skid.
Yeah, Fordham already beat Army this year. As a matter of fact, that was their opening win. So
Colgate actually right now in the, I think that puts them in the driver's seat for the Patriot League.
So because the Cactus Bowl is after January 1st, you won't watch it, correct?
Nope.
Wow. I just want to make sure.
No, wait. Is it after January 1st or? Yeah, it's after January 1st. Okay.
Yeah, it's on that Saturday.
Well, but see, I'm willing to give a little bit of gray area this particular year because of the way the calendar falls.
Well, it's pretty big of you.
But I still say that any game that you play after, like, if you've started the national championship brackets, tournament, however you want to call it, you shouldn't be playing.
Then you won't watch the January 1st games.
No, I don't like that idea. That's what I'm saying. I think that's dumb. I told you that when they first talked about this last year. I said I don't. Why are you playing a playoff game before you finished all the bowl games? It's just timing-wise doesn't make sense. That's like we're going to play the Super Bowl before the wild card game. Now the difference
They should have consulted you.
Now the difference is obviously the teams that are in this game are not going to be in the national championship game. I understand that. Doesn't mean I have to like it.
We could do an entire 10-part series on what you don't like.
You might need more than 10 parts.
Well, that's 20 hours of on air.
Yeah, it's still going to be kind of close. There's a lot of things I don't like.
As if nobody knows. Oh, good news. When it comes to open enrollment, I finally got through to the website. It's taken me 1 hour.
Only the website, though, you have not selected yet. That's a whole different animal now.
No, I know. You know darn well I'm going to select the wrong one.
That's inevitable.
Yeah, negotiating this isn't fun.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key was 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Bring in the fine head football coach at Bucknell, Joe Susan. Joe, welcome. Congrats on the win.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. Feels good to win.
Yeah. What did you see in the comeback on the road that told you some really good things?
Well, the way our quarterback played, being down 14-0, then having a bad snap turn into a turnover. He just stuck with it and made some throws that took him out of the pocket, and he was looking down the field, and that's an important thing. That's what we preach. We want him to continue to look down the field. He did it, and in doing so, he changed his arm angle a couple of times, which he really hadn't done previously. And that's part of getting it around people. Made a big play to Marcus Adimilola, and then made a really good throw to Bobby Kasslander. So and then the touchdown, the long touchdown that he threw to Will Carter, we actually let a linebacker free, and it's fortunate RJ has strength, so he was able to get that throw off. And then the last touchdown is basically a quarterback draw. It's a pass run read. He didn't even wait. He just took it and ran with it, and he got in, which it's good for him. I thought he really played well. Playing without C.J. Williams again, I thought Matt Del Muro and Joe DeFloria did an outstanding job. And then just the way our defense handled the run game as the game went on. We got gashed a couple times with a specific gap scheme. It wound up being our fault as coaches, less the kids' fault. The kids really didn't know how to fit it, and they were fitting it wrong, and our linebacker, Mark Piles, was spilling it to a safety that wasn't there. So we adapted our front just a little bit. We took that part out of it, and the other thing we did is we won the turnover battle, which is critical.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. You had the four takeaways in it. Even though you gave up some yardage, what did you see instinctively that swung that turnover battle your way?
Just the confidence that a young man like Brian Marine has and his ability as a corner. Being a true freshman, you're always concerned about putting a guy out there in space, but he is a young man that prepares as well as any senior that we have. Watches a lot of film and is always down here and takes everything very seriously. And you have to be very confident in your ability as a corner, and you can't let something that goes wrong, because he got beat on one of the touchdowns. I think it was their second touchdown on a fade, and it just so happens the receiver was 6'2", and we give Brian and the press guide a very favorable 5'8". But to come back and just continue to play the way he played, it's really a reflection of the type of player he is beyond just the guy on the field. And then our ability to sack them four times where we didn't give up any sacks. They had problems with their protections in terms of when it became one-on-one, especially against a guy like Ben Schumacher. They were actually devoting more double teams in protection to Abdullah Anderson, which is smart on their part, but that gives you three one-on-ones, and Ben really took advantage of that. So an overall team victory. We weathered having a punt snap go awry. We weathered having a fake punt not work, and the good thing is the resilience of the players on our team, and I think some of that has to do with how our coaches handled being, we spotted them 14 points. And sometimes it's hard to come back from that, but we just keep one play at a time, and college football game lasts longer than you think.
Oh, well, yeah, every jump. Yeah, with a stoppage on every first down, of course it does.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, that's why Jack Ham and I constantly talk about being in a two-minute situation, even with a timeout. You have plenty of time.
Yep.
21 second half points. You haven't done that yet this year. Did you find a rhythm offensively that you liked?
No, I think we did, and a lot of it relates to our ability to spread the football around amongst receivers, having all of our receivers healthy, and then the evolution and development of two freshmen, Andrew Hours and Marcus Adimilola, who they're both really big, strong kids. Andrew Hours is a 6 foot 2 inch, 240-pound kid who's yet to. I don't think he shaves too often. And then Marcus is 6'3", 220-pound wideout. And as those young men develop and gain strength and gain football strength, it's really going to be interesting to see their evolution. But the ability to spread the ball around offensively, I think, is critical. And then the other thing is we ran the ball effectively. And we had some chunk runs, which is important because it bypasses some downs you don't have to take. And we stayed on schedule. I think we were 11 for 18 in third down, which is critical. We converted some of the critical third downs, and we minimized the penalties. They actually had more penalties than us, which is the first time we've done that in a while. And you want to stay ahead of the penalty yardage. I got a penalty on myself, too, which
did they run into you on the sideline?
I told him if he ran into me, he would know it. And
yes.
Cause
I was down on the sideline when that penalty came out, Coach. I never saw it, and I was looking down that line. I'll be honest with you.
And when you see it on film, he runs. I'm ahead of him, and I'm where I'm not supposed to be in the white. But we never made contact, and I was looking for who he was throwing it on, and all the players who were on the sideline started backing up sheepishly, and then I said, "Who's he calling it on?" He said, "To the other guy," and he said, "He's calling it on you." And the thing that bothered me—I know it's a rule, but the play's on all the way on the other side of the field, and I didn't impact him at all. And happened one other time in my career where I did impact the guy, and the guy lost the impact. But I got to learn to stay out of the way. Because overall, that was a well-officiated game.
Yeah. Class shows, by the way, what did it mean to you and how touching was it for you what Lafayette did in honoring Robert Naylor?
You just said that. I got goosebumps. It's impressive that, you know, and it's how Frank handles his program. I remember the day of the injury. It happened closer to Frank than it did to me, and we both got out there at the same time, and he gave me a look that made me know that this was something that wasn't just a regular injury. And, you know, for them to do that and honor Robert, the most rewarding thing is Robert walking out there, you know, and when a lot of people said that he wasn't going to be walking again. And it's just a statement to the heart of the guys that we have, and I said this to Doug Birdsong the other day, that it's also a reflection of the class of the people in this league, in the programs in this league, and you know, that's where I feel I'm fortunate to coach in this league and coach at this place. And you know, we draw the line for 60 minutes, but the heart and the respect that goes across the board with the programs we play against, the program we are, it just really reinforces my faith in college football. And they did a great job. And it was a family friend, too, that was a part of that, that I guess taught Robert. So not many dry eyes out there.
No, very touching. Fordham is next. Open the season, beat Army by 2. So I had a chance to look a little bit at them on tape. What challenges initially, Joe, do they bring to the table that you're going to have to address with your team as you go through the next few days?
I think it's the ability for us to simulate the skill that Chase Edmonds is, the talent that he is in relation to how he can make you miss and then hit a 60-yarder. I think they do a good job of spreading the ball around in the passing game, but ultimately it comes down to, and one of the things Colgate did a very good job of, is really stifling Chase Edmonds. And the thing that you have to do is make him make moves where other people are catching up to him. And once he starts that and people catch up to him, he becomes a lateral back instead of a vertical back. And they've had some injury issues as well. I think they lost their best receiver against Colgate, which, you know, that just, in this league, it just evens things out a bit. And then from a standpoint of the team that they were defensively was guided by Stephen Hodge in the past, that they are, is guided by Stephen Hodge. It's unique what they've done with him. They've taken him from being an inside backer to being more a strong safety. And the thing I liked about him as an inside backer, he's making plays on both sides, you know, both sideline to sideline, where as a strong safety, you know where he is. He's on one side of the field. I think that they're very athletic defensively, but they're young. And it's nice to say that, because you couldn't say that over the past couple of years about a Fordham team. Wow. Obviously playing at their place, but one of the things that's unique about playing at their place is you really don't have to put up with crowd noise on your side, because there's no stands on the visitor's side.
Right.
So, and I told my team this Sunday night. I said, past two times we played them, it's come down to the last play of the game. And there's a good chance this one comes down to the last play of the game. Let that last play be ours. But I think the way our kids, the maturity of our kids, in their preparation for this, they know the team that Fordham is, but they also have some confidence in the team that Bucknell is right now, and I think that's important. When you gain that confidence, it really doesn't matter as long as you still have games to play. And you know, it's good to get back to winning.
Sure is. Congratulations on that.
Thank you,
Best
Steve.
Of luck this week, Joe. Thanks so much for the
time. I appreciate it. Thank you, Kevin. Take care, gentlemen.
Joe Sousa, head football coach at Bucknell, always doing a great job. A big one coming up this week with Fordham. You'll hear it on Eagle 107. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. Brought to you today by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And Kevin, by the way, is enjoying another great Sunbury Motors vehicle this week.
Well, as Matthew McConaughey said, it's not about being a tree hugger. It's not about being wasteful either. It's the Lincoln MKZ Hybrid is what we're featuring this week. The 2016 Lincoln MKZ Hybrid has everything you would expect from a Lincoln vehicle, with luxurious interior, leather interior, the heated seats, as well as sensors all the way around the vehicle. It has park assist.
You are obsessed with that seat, man.
Actually, you know what I'm obsessed with in this vehicle? I'm obsessed with the fact that it gets around 35 miles to the gallon to 40 miles to the gallon, and it's a Lincoln. That's what I'm obsessed with.
You're obsessed with the seat thing, man.
Well, it's come in handy on these chilly mornings where you just turn that on. It just warms up the leather for you, and it's very comfortable. It wraps right around you.
See, that statements like that make me feel uneasy.
Do I make you feel uncomfortable?
Yeah, 2 hours a day.
Well, if you want to find out how nice and toasty you can be for more than 2 hours a day, and how comfortable and economical it is to drive the Lincoln MKZ Hybrid when you're seeing 35 to 40 and even higher mileage on the highway, just visit Sunbury Motors. The Lincoln dealership is in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. We'll be giving you the details via my Facebook page and at Kevin Herr on Twitter in just a few.
There you go. Fabulous. Looking forward to it. All right, that's Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Kevin's already come out about the what he considers the dirty plays by the Bengals.
I did not say that. I did not say that there was a dirty play.
awfully bitter. I thought, you know, Sean Carey handled it much better than you did.
Now, did the player that was involved with said injury, has he been fined for things like ankle twisting before and knee twisting? Yes. Did I think he did it this time? It didn't look like it. It just looked like a bad way to land on the back of the guy's, on the back of Bell's leg.
Yeah, that one was inadvertent. That one was inadvertent. That's not a, I don't think it's much of an issue. Just turned just bad timing. I mean, he's out for the year now. He's on IR. He's done. So, which is a shame. I mean, this is one of the best pure football players in the league, period. I mean, they don't have him. They don't win a couple of games while Roethlisberger's out.
Okay, let's look at this. Last year, they did not have really anybody at all to replace him on, either as a receiver or a runner. Now, with Williams, at least they have a little bit of a runner to replace him. How much different is it this year without Bell as opposed to last year without Bell in the playoff game?
Well, you didn't have Roethlisberger banged up either.
That's also true.
I mean, it's going to take him a couple of weeks. They need the bye week, actually.
Oh, that's till 2 weeks away yet.
No, they need the bye week. If they play this week, then it's the bye week, correct?
No, I think it's this week. It's Oakland at home, then Cleveland at home, then the bye week.
Ooh, two losses.
Oh, please. Cleveland, come on. McCown, they don't even know if McCown can actually move right now. I mean, that poor guy got just crushed yesterday. And then waiting in the wings is Johnny Manziel, which I think is the best thing Cleveland could do for Pittsburgh.
I thought you said Andy Dalton was.
No. I said Johnny Football being a starter for Cleveland is the best thing that could happen in that game for Pittsburgh.
You said last week that you thought Andy Dalton was the best thing. He beat you.
No, he did not beat the Steelers. No. He had probably one of his weakest games all year. Now, did they win? Yes. Did Andy Dalton win? No.
Seemed to be smiling when he got on the plane.
That could very well be. I'm sure he was very happy because he got bailed out by the rest of his mates, which is what it's supposed to happen in a football game.
Awfully bitter toward people who beat you. Very bitter.
No. Trying to find his stats from last week's game, or from the game. Let's see.
You know, the odd thing is, I think Green had double-digit catches, right? And the odd thing is, I thought Blake did a good job on him. And they just think the guy's just that good. I thought Blake actually played a good game. I thought the Steelers did a great job with their stunts up front. They had the Bengals really off balance with some of the stunts.
He was 23 of 38, 231 with a touchdown, two interceptions, was sacked three times.
And what were the numbers on your star?
And he was rated 64.7.
And what was the numbers on your star?
Hold on. Looking that up now.
Just want to make sure that the glass house is boarded up.
Glass house?
Yes, you in the glass house.
Hold on. I'm having trouble spelling Roethlisberger here. Hold on.
Oh, geez. It'll come up for you. Just, you know.
You would think, yeah. All right, here it is. Ben was 28 of 45, a touchdown, three interceptions, was sacked three times. He was slightly worse at 57.8.
So Dalton outplayed him.
I didn't say that Dalton didn't play better than Ben. I said that Dalton didn't beat Pittsburgh. He just happened to be on the winning team.
Awfully bitter.
I think Pittsburgh beat themselves. Explain to me, as time's running low, you don't have a timeout. You run a three, instead of spiking the ball, you run a three-step pattern and then fight to get out of bounds, which actually used up more time. That didn't make any sense to me. That's where I think the Steelers beat themselves.
Well, Minnesota, Michigan, you want to talk about making mistakes? Oh. Wow.
Opportunities abound in that game.
That one is worse than that. That was pure... That was coaching mistake.
I was watching that, mistake. And I don't understand that. Don't get it.
Okay, you got 2 minutes. Clock the ball.